B-Pod Studios.
Zone Beatles.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second shot is good for Noel. 108-103, inbound pass stolen away by Greg Monroe. And fittingly enough, a guy over the Christmas holiday by the name of Noel dribbles out the clock. Your final score tonight, Minnesota 108, Celtics 103.
Working on the holidays, huh? Anyways, I love John Wallach. I made cupcakes for him 1 year.
Why?
He was leaving for a period of time, and we just made a bunch of Wallach heads on cupcakes.
I forgot about that.
So I thought it was cool. Anyway, so they lose last night. I put it on for 10 minutes, and then I said...
Which part of the game did you watch?
I watched Moose. Greg Monroe play basketball.
Yeah, he was... He
just scored on Jaylen Brown. I watched Jaylen Brown shoot a three with 20 seconds left on the shot clock, run back down court, and then nobody could rebound the basketball. Then Monroe put it in, and they said, all right. They were down 10, by the way.
Celts?
Yeah, when I put it on.
Okay, so you caught it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they covered the spread, I think. Yeah, they did. 108-103, they covered.
Who?
The Celtics. They were underdogs last night, right?
No
Jason Tatum?
Celtics were 5.5-point favorites.
They were favored last night?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
With no Jason Tatum?
Yeah. I was shocked.
Psh, no way.
Not kidding. It got down to 4.5.
I could have, if I looked, I would have bet the game and won.
So it opened at 8.5. Then the Tatum news came out, got down to 6, worked its way all the way to 5, settled at 5.5.
So the only guy that I feel like is trying out there is Peyton Pritchard, because he is a tryhard. They have four guys off the bench. Grant Williams was one of them.
Yep, he came back. He didn't play in Milwaukee, but he came back last night.
Sam Hauser, my guy from Virginia. Mm. Big three-point guy.
Maine Celtic.
That's right. One of your guys, Maine Celtics. This Hernan Gomez guy is brutal.
How did he come up earlier?
I don't know.
Somehow he's got that off in earlier in the show.
Hernan Gomez. Honcho, right? Am I saying it right, or am I?
So they got him in the. Remember, they traded Chris Dunn, right? So they got Dunn and then flipped Dunn for this guy, right? Isn't that how they got him?
Mm.
I'll double check that.
He stinks. He's brutal. Anyways, they lost, and that doesn't matter because they stink. But Al Horford spoke after the game,
and this, you know, they played harder than us, and especially that second half. In our regard, it's. You know, it's tough. It's tough because, you know, I feel like the intent is there a lot of the time. Like, guys are trying to do the right things. You know, right now this is who we are. And, you know, we have some searching, definitely.
They have some searching? Surging.
Yeah.
Is that like soul searching? Roster searching?
You asked why were the Celtics not underdogs? Well, Minnesota was out five starters, too.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like you mentioned, yeah, how you, there were guys. Yeah. And our guy, Julian Edlow, sent me a text. He's very big into correcting me and making sure I'm on.
Julian Edlow of DraftKings. Go follow him.
Yeah. Yeah, Julian Edlow of DraftKings, right.
Yes.
Yep.
If you didn't know, DraftKings.
Presenting sponsor machine. Here at the Sports Hub.
People say I peddle a lot of sponsors around here. You know, DraftKings, Dom Sausage, Downey Cider, which are just my friends. I'm not even peddling them. Kowloon.
No Carl Anthony
Towns. I might
go
to the Kowloon tonight, by the way.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Can I come along?
No. I'm going to the Globetrotters tonight.
Well, I thought you were going to Kowloon.
Actually, I bet you I'm going to both. Come on now. Double dip it. I'll have more
fun. I
forgot
you're a big double dipper.
I am. I'll have more fun watching the Globetrotters tonight. Than anything the Celtics
playing?
Have at the Garden.
Oh.
But But the Celtics are terrible to watch. And now Al Horford's saying we need searching. And then Jaylen Brown, what does he say after the old searching comment?
Al kind of mentioned that some searching or maybe looking in the mirror is kind of important for the team as individuals. I guess thoughts on that comment?
Searching or looking in the mirror?
Yeah, just like, no
comment.
Oof.
He said no comment. Oh, boy.
Searching and looking in the mirror.
Now,
nah, no comment.
Just a couple years ago now, who was here? And there was a rift between Jaylen Brown and this particular player. And I'm pretty sure this
Marcus
player...
Marcus Morris. Go ahead.
I was going to say Kyrie Irving.
All right, but keep going.
But weren't these other guys the same people that would use the no comment line?
Okay, I will absolutely agree that Kyrie Irving was right about these kids. We can say that Kyrie's crazy and all these things.
I think there might be something to it.
He always said that they needed a veteran in here when Al Horford was here.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, Al Horford doesn't need to be a
leader.
You
said this yesterday. He's a pro. But is he a leader?
He doesn't. I don't get mad that Jason Tatum, if people want him to be a leader. Like, there are plenty of teams that, like, is Sidney Crosby a leader? He leads by example, right? He just puts up points and whatever. Right, crossing sports again. There's just, all I'm trying
even
to say
like,
is,
even when Pierce was here, like, Pierce was good. He was your number one scorer. And I thought he was a good, decent leader, but no one looked at Pierce as this great leader. Yeah, and they got Garnett.
But then they made him the captain. And
they
did. And he grew into it and molded into it.
Yes.
Late in the game, they had Garnett and Pierce. They still give him Pierce the ball.
That's true.
And even when they asked, hey, which one of you guys wants the final shot, they all said each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, that's like, they all kind of came together in that. He played last night, or he's on the Timberwolves, but Patrick Beverley is a guy that I think could be a leader.
He didn't play last night.
I know, but he's on the team as well.
Yes,
I'm
he
saying.
Is.
But, yep. Like, I look at guys, like, they need someone like that to come in here. Leaning on Joe Johnson for the rub, like, okay. I like the story, but they need a lot. They need a soul search. They need to look in the mirror. And then he comes out and says, nah, no comment. Like, so you're essentially your star player is out for the next 10 days. Or I don't know. They
could
changed the
five.
Rules on that one now, too.
Yeah. But he's likely out tomorrow. He's going to be out tomorrow against the Clippers and Friday against the Suns at home.
All right. People are going to think I'm stirring the pot. But the nah, no comment thing is just like, childish from Jaylen Brown.
It was. Did you remember what he said when they lost last week to Philly? They blew a 7-point lead in the final 3 minutes. He was asked, if you think there's answers here in this locker room, do you have faith in your guys? And he said all the right things then. And he took some responsibility. There's other audio of Jaylen Brown saying, yeah, you know, I didn't play well. Defensively, there were lapses. He turned the ball over 6 times last night. And I know you said you didn't watch the whole game, but Joe, some of his turnovers, the passes were like behind a cutter or like bad, like really, like not like bad luck, tipped off the finger, like bad, bad turnovers.
He shot. You want another thing? He missed 5 free throws. They lost by 5.
He had an opportunity to be the guy last night. Everyone talks about the coexistence of the two stars. All right, Jaylen, well, you're the number one tonight. First time they were without Tatum all year. Celtics. First time with no Tatum.
He went 8 of 13 from the free throw line and 8 of 24 from the field. And you mentioned the turnovers.
He had 6, right?
Yeah.
Team had 14. He had 6 of them.
But he got his 26 points, and he's going to be an all-star. Right? Isn't what it comes down to for these guys? Yeah, I'm going to be an all-star. I got my 26 points.
Wallach brought this up last night on the air. That loss last night was worse than Christmas Day. No Cat. No D'Angelo Russell. No Anthony Edwards. They're down 5 starters. They brought one guy back from the protocol, Josh Okogie. He had 4 points last night.
Auburn?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah,
and then the other dude they have, Malik Beasley, who had scored like 21 per game over the last 4. Beasley and Okogie were supposed to be like their go-to guys last night. They weren't even their top 2 scorers. Jaylen Noel, 29 off the bench, goes 6 of 9 from 3.
Touchdown, Houston.
There you go.
Start us off. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Nathan Knight, Joe, made his first career start last night.
Nathan Knight.
20 and 11.
Is he related to any of the other Knights, like Brevin Knight or any of those guys?
I think Jaden McDaniels is kind of a nice little player. He had 17. But you got beat last night by... Oh, and Greg Monroe, old friend.
Moose.
11-9-6 for Greg Monroe.
Remember that signing? They thought like he was going to be the next one.
Greg Monroe was quoted after the game. He admitted, I have no idea who Jalen Noel is, but he had a good game tonight. That team played more together and harder than you. And Greg Monroe was a catalyst for that team last night. And that's a team. Greg Monroe got there in the afternoon. That is not good.
Nathan Knight went to William & Mary. You lost to a guy who played at William & Mary.
CAA puts out some good talent.
They lost to a guy. They lost to guys that played at William & Mary last night.
And here's the troubling part. They brought back Horford and Grant Williams off the COVID list. So the excuse of your front court being thin was not true last night. You had Robert Williams. You had Horford. You had Grant Williams. Is it full strength? No, you didn't have Cantor. But I'm not sure what Cantor or Freedom. Excuse me. I'm not sure what Freedom brings defensively in the paint. But you had your core. You had your core guys in your front court. Robert Williams, Al Horford, Grant Williams, and you got exposed. Minnesota had 50 points in the paint. They didn't shoot the ball great from three in the first half, and then they played inside outside, dominated first half inside, then they made their threes in the second half. And once again, their offense, the Celtics' offense, disappeared.
It's embarrassing. They're at under 500, right?
Two games under.
I liked when Ime was calling out the guys. Now he's not doing that anymore. I wonder if he got a call.
Because, well, now he's like, how do I keep their spirits high?
Johnny on Ime Udoka. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, hey, Ime. Thanks for taking my call. So last night, I think in the first quarter, Scal, who I'm not even a huge fan of, but he called out the team saying that they weren't showing any effort on defense. And he was worried that, you know, if the Timberwolves, who were a bunch of G League guys, get hot at a home game, it might end up being a game. I bet the game kind of heavy last night because I saw the starting lineup for Timberwolves. I didn't even recognize them. And it was a terrible bet in the end. And as far as Ime Udoka goes, like, you're supposed to call a timeout early and call your team out and say, if you're not going to play defense, let me find five guys on this bench of, you know, whoever these 10-day contracts are, who wants to go out there and play. And he didn't do that. And in the post game, he said, oh, well, you know, in the fourth quarter, the Timberwolves out-hustled us. And it's like, bro, they didn't out-hustle you in the fourth quarter. You played no defense the whole game. And to me, that's on him. You got to do better than that. And so I'm pretty worried about the Celtics team. I don't see a way out. I think the whole front office needs to be removed. I don't want Austin Ainge. No, I want new people in there. Shake the whole thing up. We're in a bad place.
Blow it up. I'm about to blow up this segment talking about the Celtics because they're a bore to me. They're such a bore.
That's the thing.
What else
right?
can we say anymore?
They're
about
not them? Like they're not just losing. Like they are no longer like there's no Bridgie DNA in this team.
There's nothing that makes me want to watch. Yeah. Nothing. And Jaylen Brown's nah comment. Nah.
It sounds like you've.
Hey,
arrived.
Al Horford thinks you guys need to just kind of look at yourselves in the mirror after this loss. Nah, no comment. Yeah, imagine that one flying by and with the Patriots.
Well, that's the thing. Like, at least, like, you hear we talk about. I'm going to cross sports.
We got to go to break. I'm getting yelled at.
Sorry,
everybody. He's got takes, and I see guys on the line. Our friend Danny from Quincy's on the line. He's going to yell. So we're going to get him lined up as well, and we'll talk to you guys right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Scholarships.
You say dialogue, so says.
It's nice to have sort of this open dialect with you to where.
Dialogue.
What did I say?
Dialect.
I said dialect.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Back here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now I'm fired up. Have you seen the Straight Outta Compton?
Yes.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Just making sure that you are up to date on the that song's obviously from 89 or 90. 19 Straight Outta Compton would have been, well, now we're getting into the music stage of the show. Straight Outta Compton. Well, I want to say 90. Straight Outta Compton was, well, it says 1988 here, which I don't believe. It's trying to give me the movie, and I don't want the movie. Yeah, recorded in 1988. Wow, I wanted to say 90, but yeah. You weren't born yet, were you?
92.
Damn. You were born in the 90s, bro?
Yeah.
You were born in the 90s. Milliken, when were you born?
1998. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tyler's young. Tyler makes me feel old, but I don't know how you feel.
I'm 39. I'm about to turn 40.
March. You don't look it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course.
That. Appreciate that.
You don't look it. Sorry.
Thank you. No, I really.
Get something original, Glasheen, please.
But you know, if you pause and like, if I don't say it too, then he'll think, oh, well, Glasheen probably thinks I do look old.
Fair point.
Houston leads Auburn 7-0 right now, 7 minutes to go. Driving on Auburn at the moment. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on that game. So you were born in 92.
Yeah.
Wow. So you missed the dream team.
YouTube.
The dream team was great. Larry Bird was kind of like retired and... You know the story, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My dad used to share season tickets for the Celtics in the 80s. Okay. It really pisses me off.
Are you one of these guys that you're in the sports, but you know what happened in the past and stuff like that?
Yeah.
That kind of bothers me. Like,
if you don't?
Yeah. It's kind of like you weren't there for it. You know? Like, you just weren't there.
But I'm
like, 1998 was the home run race. You have to understand how big baseball was in 1998.
1,000%. Beto throws it.
You love baseball.
Of course.
But in 1998, it was bigger than your love of baseball.
Beetle tells me all the time, he's like, you were born in the wrong era. He, like, constantly, he's like, you have no idea what baseball meant. Yeah.
1,000%.
In 1998, it was the biggest thing in the world, dude.
I'm depressed every day. I was born in 1998.
Like, the Montreal Expos obviously had, like, this great team, and everything went on strike, like, beforehand. And it was like, man, the Expos. And then the Expos ended up, you know, not becoming a team anymore. And it's like, that's sad. Like, 92 and 98 were great music years, too. You know, obviously, I know in 91, I posted a photo the other day. We're way off track. I apologize. But I posted this photo the other day. It's on my Twitter handle or somewhere. I posted it on Twitter. Yeah. But in 1991, a bunch of music albums came out 44 days apart. It was Metallica Black. It was Blood Sugar Sex Magik from Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was Pearl Jam 10. I'm trying to think of the other ones there. It was Soundgarden had their song, had their album, Bad Motorfinger. What was the other album I'm trying to think of right now? But anyways, all these albums came out. Oh, and Nirvana Nevermind, which is probably one of the greatest albums of all time. 10 from Pearl Jam is one of the greatest. They're all some of the greatest albums of all time. Came out in 1991 in a 44-day span.
I'm sorry.
Like, no, but I'm trying to say.
Joe Murray's upset for us.
When I talk about the Red Sox and everything, like 2004, I tell everybody, I have no memory of it. My first real championship was 07. That's my favorite team of all time. I have no, I was six. Nothing.
See, I respect that. Kind of to Joe's point, I hate people that, like, when you were like five.
Yeah, it didn't mean anything.
Yeah,
to you.
Brady's the best, dude. You remember the Super Bowls early on in his career? Like, what do you know? You were seven. Like, right? You were 6 or 7. See, you acknowledged that you were young and you didn't know anything.
Exactly. But, and I go and get the history.
You know, Milliken probably had his little Patriots or his little Red Sox pajamas on, and he's watching the game late, staying up. But he doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, the 07 team?
04 team.
The 04, yeah.
Nothing, I was six.
But an 03, you don't get it.
Yeah, go Pokey Reese. Like, but he didn't know what was going on.
No, 03, I sat on a couch.
03 was awesome.
And watched the Red Sox and the Yankees, and all of a sudden, here comes Tim Wake.
Aaron Boone, I know.
Not doing this.
I've went and learned, like you said, you have to go and learn it, but I can't share that same pain you felt back on that day.
1,000%. Yep, agreed. Agree.
I mean, I know there are a lot of people listening right now being like, these guys are children.
That's why I hate the whole Jordan LeBron debate, too. Like, I didn't
remember we brought up Steph Curry earlier?
Yeah.
Like, to me, and people are going to hate this.
Can't wait.
I think LeBron James was better than Larry Bird. I think LeBron James is the greatest small forward of all time. I said it on Boston Airwaves. On the home of the Boston
Celtics.
Have you
said that on these airwaves before?
Yeah, I think he's the greatest.
That's not controversial.
Is he not the greatest small forward of all time?
Well, he kind of plays point guard, too.
LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his position's the three. He's the greatest three in history. If Larry Bird wasn't on the Celtics, he probably would have been a power forward, right?
Yeah.
Because Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish.
I got it.
I'm just saying, I think LeBron James is the greatest three of all time.
Okay.
And I watched Larry Bird play.
Right.
He was great.
I didn't.
No, I didn't watch the 1979 National Championship game because I wasn't born yet, but whatever. I still think Magic Johnson's the greatest point guard of all time. I still think so. And I still think that Michael Jordan's the greatest two of all time. That's how I feel. That's what I think. You guys probably have a different answer, right?
Best two guard of all time.
It's Michael Jordan. How are we even doing this?
You're the one who just asked.
Why even think about it, though?
I'm not as instant as you. You got to give me a second.
You know why? Because I'm the air fryer guy, right? I'm the instant. I need it now. And I'm not even
double
one of
dip.
These. I'm not one. Yes, I do double dip. But like, I'm not one of these guys where I go to like YouTube and watch old stuff. Like, I do read about old stuff. Mm-hmm. And this all started from Straight Outta Compton, right?
Yeah. Oh, coming up on headlines here.
Oh, are we? Sorry for the music discussion. It turned into age and age shaming. No, you guys, I told you, you bring it. You bring the vibe. You bring the energy. I have the energy too.
Need it this time of day.
I need a coffee every once in a while too. But
go make yourself a coffee when I do the headlines.
I think I want to take a call.
Oh, all right. Go for it.
Jake in Boston. Hi, Jake.
Hey, boys. I actually love this conversation. And, you know, 20 years ago, the Patriots won their first Super Bowl in 2001, which means you really have to be in your mid-30s to understand what that meant and sort of how surreal that was. I forget who I was correcting on the David Patton catch, the unconscious catch out of bounds in Buffalo. Someone was like, oh, it happened in Foxborough. I was like, no, dude, that happened in Buffalo. We won a game there. We moved 4 games over .500. That set up Miami and the whole rest of it. I think the bigger point is that it's created a sense of major entitlement around here, especially around the football team, to where the Barstool crowd, and I love Barstool and I love Dave, but that crowd thinks you go to the AFC Championship game every year. And that crowd thinks, you know, you're entitled to that moment, and you really aren't. And I think that's why Jake from Boston is Jake from Boston, because when Brady walked out the door, even if you do win Super Bowls now, they're not the same. They're not the same as what you've had. You had Camelot here for 20 years. It was golden. There's nothing that's going to ever top it. And you wanted to hold on to that as long as humanly possible. And that's why I get really irked when I see certain assistant coaches or player wives or anyone who is not watching the Brady documentary here right now and seeing how obsessive compulsive this guy is to winning a championship and seeing how obsessive compulsive he is to putting in the effort and not dogging it like N'Keal Harry did the other day and putting his, you know, he talked very nicely about how he had to learn to balance family. Well, Tom Brady didn't win a Super Bowl until his kids were, what, 3-4 years old? and you've got your offensive and defensive coordinator. You've got your three head coaches under Bill, all with kids under three right now. So when I get upset here, yeah, a lot of entitlement, a lot of taking it for granted. Also a lot of, like, what the heck are you doing trying to balance family here when even the greatest of all time tried to do it and failed?
Thanks, Jake. Sorry, I'm getting the old
break. I'm sorry.
Break.
Have you watched
Breakwave?
Are you a Curb person?
I know it was the season finale this week.
Did you watch the season finale?
I watched Insecure.
Yeah, I heard.
I did not watch Curb, unfortunately.
So Curb starts, Larry starts humming the Oscar music when someone's going on and doesn't know
shut up. Yeah.
So
I play a violin.
Yeah, so Larry does his
a little one too.
It's good. You should watch it.
1992, man. I was listening to the Chronic album by Dr. Dre. All right, we'll go to the headlines here on 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Can you feel it? Really exciting, right?
Woo! Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
My slant is this. Are the Patriots coming undone? Has Mac Jones hit the rookie wall? Did we generally overrate them during their 7-game winning streak? Were they frauds? Or did their expiration date just come and they are water seeking its own level? But to me, the focus is the most troubling aspect of this. And when we look at the examples of focus lapses in the Colts game, they're legion. But then we also look at the number of lapses against the Bills and the occasions where you say, hey, they were just outclassed. Those are also legion. You know, the Bills had 7 possessions still, legitimate possessions. They ran out the clock before the half and at the end of the game. All 7 drives were 7 plays or more. They had a 10-play drive, a 13-play drive, another 13-play drive, a 14-play drive. The one time they failed to score, that's because the one time they turned it over on downs and failed to score on a drive, Bills were down at the 1-yard line and had a dropped touchdown pass. So they never stopped them, which is an announcement that they are a better team than the Patriots, no matter how you slice it.
All right, back here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Joe Murray, Brennan Glashine's here. Just still trying to put together the ages of these two.
How old's Milliken?
23.
So combine our ages. We are 42. No, 52. I'm 29.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm sorry.
Crazy.
Don't be sorry, Tyler. There's nothing you did.
He looks stressed. Hurt.
People are like, oh, Joe, the strike was in 94. I hope I said that right. I mean, you guys kind of knew what I meant, right? Knew what I meant by that?
Yeah,
okay. Then some guy's like, you're the king of ADHD. I do forget things, Tom, from time to time. I am hyper. I don't remember what you said. Sometimes it happens. I
in this industry, happens all the time.
It happens. I apologize. It happens. So that was Tom Curran there talking, basically saying, is there a lack of focus with the New England Patriots? Just like my lack of focus. Is there a lack of focus with the Patriots?
I don't know if your lack of focus equates to a football team's lack of focus.
I'm like Gronk, you know? It's like I'll catch the ball when you need me to, but what do you got over there for food?
Or you'll defend your quarterback.
That's right. I will defend my quarterback. We'll get to that in a little bit too.
We kind of already have.
I feel vindicated. We'll tease that for a little bit, but I don't know. Matthew Slater saying splinter, and you know we all need to stick together. Why are all these reporters writing these stories today, or the last day or so? Focus. Is there a problem in the locker room?
Slow start. slow starts, plural. You go down 7, well, you go down 20-0 in Indy. You go down 7-0 to Buffalo, like not ready to go from the shoot. Maybe that's why. Like, they're 1-5 this year when they trail after one quarter. First quarter. Slow starts.
So if they trail this week against Jacksonville, is it the same old thing? Let's say they come back and still win by 40. Was it even a thing?
No. If anything, maybe we'll learn a little something about them. Like, I thought we learned something about Buffalo when they trailed 24-3 in Tampa.
Do you know what I think I come away with when it comes to the Buffalo game is that pretty much Bill Belichick was like, we're going to take away Knox. We're going to put Jackson on Diggs.
Yep.
You're not really going to run the football anyways, so we'll have four up front and we'll go 4-4 with our couple, you know, three safeties. And then this McKenzie kid on the outside, if you want to throw to him, go ahead, because we know you're not going to take what we give you. His history has shown that Josh Allen doesn't take what you give him. And they continued to take what they give him. Like, he went to McKenzie, and they were so stubborn that they never changed it. And Josh Allen actually did the thing that he's never done in his career, was take the open look, the easy Ray out. And I think at the end of the game, when he went and, you know, shook Josh Allen's hand, he pretty much said, you know, congratulations, you know, you changed the way that you play. You know, you changed the way that we've defended you. And my only thing is, and I always use the basketball analogy, when someone's scoring, don't you just try to put someone else on them on defense just to give them a different look or go to his? They've tried man, they tried zone. They never tried Mills on the outside. They never did it. They never sent a blitz. They never changed anything. And to me, that might be where the riff's at. Hey, we're out here. You're letting this guy beat us all day, and you never changed it. You never tried to blitz the guy. It was, let's stick to the plan. And I think that might be where the riff's at.
Both sides of the ball, sticking to the plan and not altering said plan. Doesn't Bill get a ton of credit every year, every game usually, halftime adjustments? What was the score at halftime? 17-7?
And controversial. Could have been 17-3. Could have been 17-10. Could have been 17-14. Right? Because of the penalty that got called back?
Right. With 1:22 left, you're at your 47-yard line.
They're at their 38-yard line with the penalty. And then they
picked it up.
Picked it up and then tagged on 15 yards. Which still, to me, was awful.
Yeah.
Who picks up these flags anymore? For personal fouls?
The fact that they're playing Jacksonville this week, I think is going to be difficult for folks to let go of this game. Say the Miami game was this week. I think it's easier to just, okay, let's go. Forget it.
Get back at it.
Big game this week. The fact you're playing Jacksonville, I think that's why this looms true. That might have something to do with it. Like the Slater comment. Maybe if the opponent is a big test, they beat Buffalo, they have the bye, and then it's like, all right, hey, this doesn't get any easier. We're playing a really good, really red hot Colts team. Now you lose to the Colts, but it's like, okay, move on. We got Buffalo coming back here. Now this Buffalo game it looms a bit because your next game is against 2-13, possibly tanking Jacksonville.
Let's talk to Danny and Quincy. Hey, Danny.
Joe, you really disrespect me that much to keep me on hold for 2 hours, brother? I mean, really. Just tell me, just be honest with me. That's all. I cleaned the house. I did my bills. I squeezed my oranges.
Sorry.
Did you drop them?
I don't control the calls.
Oh.
They go through a guy, he answers them, he puts you on hold. Then there's a lineup.
Straight out of Compton.
That's how it works.
First, and then calls.
But like, do I disrespect you? I tried to go to him earlier, didn't I? Did I try to go to him earlier? Thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, I think so.
I tried. You know what? Here's the rule. New rule. If you call in, no more talking about the way we handle it or the longer or their time that you have to wait. If you're calling into a radio station, you should never, ever be able to say you left me on hold too long. Do you disrespect me? I just take your call. That's it. You call in. I hit click. You're on the air. I go longest order of wait is what I do.
Yep.
Right, Tyler? Should we set rules here?
I think those are very fair rules.
I like Danny. We have great discussions.
You said you were going to try to get
him. I was trying to get to him earlier, and I couldn't.
It reminds me a little bit of yesterday, even after saying 1,000 times that you bet on the Bills yesterday, you still had to get on Twitter and say and explain it to everybody that you had money on the Bills.
I love Danny. I don't want to disrespect him. I'll be on tomorrow morning from 6 to 10 a.m. with Ted Johnson. Yeah, the second I see your name come on the board, I'm going to you tomorrow. How about that?
Oh, now you're changing your rules.
But don't you call and say, do you disrespect me? You left me on hold for 2 hours? Nope. No.
Joe, it's okay.
You don't deserve that.
They don't. We're trying to run a show here.
See, Tyler, he had to go put that on Twitter about the Bills thing because, as you know, in this industry, in radio, people are tuning in at different times.
I noticed
what Joe was doing yesterday.
He did reset it maybe 30 times.
Right. That was good. Some people still didn't get the point.
Danny gave me a good blue cheese dip once, too. So I like you, Danny. I'm sorry. You came at me today, and I got to go. We got to go to break. Hey, by the way, a little Bruins nugget just came over.
Oh,
we'll get into that coming up on the other side, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, I mean, how I said, we've been living this for the past couple of years. So I guess your level of frustration kind of builds up, you know, in this past couple of years. It might be a little different than 2 years ago. So I'm kind of, you know, it is what it is. It happened, you know, and hopefully we get through this Christmas holidays and just can't wait to get back to the guys and you know, have some skates, practices, and hopefully play some games.
Back here at 98.5, The Sports Hub. I came up with an idea during the break there because I had a lot of people come at me telling me I was angry and they want more callers and less me and I'm a backbencher and will always will be and this and that. You guys should start a podcast called The Kids Table. I think you guys should just start a podcast called The Kids Table and just do it up. What do you think?
Milliken, you in?
All right, he's got a thumbs up back there.
Does Milliken, do you do hardcore baseball with McCarthy, right?
He's a kid, too. Is he in his 30s yet, though?
I don't know.
Yes, we do it together. We scream a lot, and we don't agree on anything, but it is a good time.
But, like, you're regularly on, though.
Yeah, in the works. We'll call it that.
The kids' table. I like it. I think it's something that could work out. Like, at the holidays, right? Do you guys have, like the adults and the kids' table?
Yeah.
Do you want royalties on this?
No. I just think it's a good
Tyler,
idea.
Tyler, are you the youngest person at the station?
I was for a long time, but we do have someone who is a year younger than me now. Ryan Beaton, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he does overnights. He's working Felger and Mass today as well.
Oh, okay. Who's our youngest on-air person?
Barth?
Yeah, Barth now. McCarthy was.
I think Alex and I are like a year apart. I might be older than him. I don't know.
Beatles the youngest. Well, Jones is probably. No, yeah. Beatle is the youngest full-timer.
Yeah.
Speaking of old guys, Tuukka Rask. Who?
Great segue.
Short take from me.
That was not a bench warmer segue. That was a good radio segue.
I've been doing this 15 years, bro. Just waiting for that shot, man.
on opportunity.
Just waiting for that place to be like, Joe, every day, this could be you. Still still pitching every day, you know. Anyways, Tuukka Rask, I will just make a quick take. Whether he comes back or not, nothing will change. Fair to say? The goaltending's not the problem for the Bruins. It's secondary scoring. It's the roster.
Oh, you mean nothing will change with the team?
Nothing. You meant out their of the record will not change. They will not be better with him back. They won't. What's he going to shut everybody out? Is he going to come in here and just pitch shutouts left and right?
Well, Brandon Carlo is.
I mean, Pastrnak can't score. Things aren't right with the team this year. They're just not right. People would love the kids' table idea, is what I'm getting on Twitter right now. But anyways, what's going to change? And I read the tweet from Fluto. So what did he say? Tuukka's coming back and he's going to be in Providence. Is that it?
Yes. Here are the three tweets from Fluto updating us today from Bruins practice. Taylor Hall considers himself asymptomatic. He's been congested prior to testing positive. He was congested. Current plan is for Tuukka Rask to play for Providence during next month's three-game road trip, and Brandon Carlo expected to rejoin the team tomorrow.
Oh, that guy, Brandon Carlo, he's back too? I said off the air, what's just more of a snooze than the Bruins, and you said the Celtics?
I didn't say that.
Oh, is that what you said? Oh, what did you say? Did I put words in your mouth now?
No, I might work for the main Celtics. Oh! Now.
Well, actually, I might have said what's worse than the Celtics, and you said the Bruins. That might have been.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
What a snooze.
Well,
I don't know.
They are technically a snooze because they haven't played.
I know.
In a while.
Usually, like, Thanksgiving is the time of year where I'm like, are they contenders or pretenders? But I just can't get into them. They're not a likable group. And how many guys asked for a trade now?
Yeah.
We got Jake DeBrusque. Did the all three first round? Oh, no, Zboril, when he asked for a trade too, I heard.
Yep.
So all of those first round picks all asked for trades. And Zboril's now done for the year, right, with an injury. So Seneshin has asked for a trade, and Jake DeBrusque has asked for a trade. What's up with these guys asking for trades? What, do they think they're going to play elsewhere?
Imagine the Celtics players did that.
That's
typically what happens in the NBA.
We actually don't know that yet. I mean, N'Keal Harry asked for a trade. How'd that work?
Great point. Still here. Got an opportunity. Played the most snaps of any wide receiver on Sunday. Got that.
Can you believe that? N'Keal Harry got the most snaps of any wide receiver on Sunday?
He outsnapped Bourne and he outsnapped Myers.
And I know we're up against it, but just that 15 Bruins draft class, Zboril, DeBrusque, Seneshin. You mentioned Carlo. So he's back now.
Mm-hmm.
Vladar's gone. See ya. I mean, even Don Sweeney, if he's gone, nothing changes with this team. Why does everyone want Tuukka Rask back? What changes?
A spark.
Now he's taking away a spot from some kid in Providence right now.
Energy.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, he's a real fired up guy. Let me tell you.
Maybe he's learned something.
He's always out there. Yeah, yeah, he's real fired up. Tuukka Rask is going to give the team a spark? You're reaching right now. You're looking for anything.
Oh, I'm not saying he will. I'm theorizing.
You're looking for anything right now for the Bruins.
Looking for anything from these teams in town.
Tuukka.
Joe, say the Patriots are a pretender. What if the Patriots miss the playoffs? What are we going to do in this town for 6 months? Billiken, your baseball team better be good.
Have faith.
No, I'm not joking.
Is there college basketball we can watch? I mean,
yeah, do that with Jones.
Maybe they bring back the Alliance Football League or something. Start watching that.
What are we going to do in this town?
In this town?
If the Bruins and Celtics don't get their act together, we're in trouble.
Bowling leagues.
March Madness is fun, though.
Bowling leagues, pool, and gambling.
I like it. So what we'll do is we'll start a bowling league. We'll go every Wednesday, and that's when we'll record the Kids Table podcast.
Big ball or little ball?
Big ball.
Okay. You?
How about you?
Well, I prefer the little ball. I like to fire that thing down there. Little candle pin. All right, we got to go to break. Sorry about that. Got a little nugget on a percentage for the Pats to make the playoffs. And what else?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.